Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm liking this taste of authority.
What authority would that be, Matt?
The authority to record a podcast?
Okay, I guess that's fair. You're not alone, but you're sharing that authority with many, many people.
Well, yeah, but you know.
You know how many podcasts there are in last count?
11 D bajillion?
275,000.
That's not as many as I thought. Phew.
Before we get into this week's episode, let's see. A correction, I guess, on my part. Matt, when you thought the song was Bringing in the Sheep, you were not alone. Most people, it seemed, thought it was Bringing in the Sheep. There was quite an outcry on Facebook and Twitter that everyone thought it was Bringing in the Sheep. I think only the people who went to Christian school actually knew it was Bringing in the Sheaves.
Yeah, so, well, apparently.
I will retract my statement about, retract my outrage that you didn't know the right words.
Well, I'm pretty sure unless you went to Christian school, you had no idea what a sheave was. And I'm pretty sure no one knows what a sheave was because no one works on a farm anymore.
Oh, people still farm. How do you get your chickens?
They still farm. They just use big machines now. And it's like less than 1% of the population actively farms. So, you know.
Robot chickens?
That would be amazing. Eggs be as good, though?
I think they'd be better.
You think?
Fine-tuned for flavor by robots.
I like it.
Okay. Before we get going, remind you guys, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. It really helps us out. I know I say it every week, but it really does help us out. It really gets us more attention. More people see the show, and we like that, of course. This week's episode, Separate Vocations, episode 8F15, originally aired February 27th, 1992, written by Jeffrey Lynch, directed by George Meyer. Finished 29th in the ratings with a Nielsen rating of 14.8, approximately 13.6 million viewing households. Highest rated show on Fox that week. Goes back on top after, it's 2 weeks now on top after, which was it, the one that crashed us? What are we two weeks ago, Matt? Why can't I remember? Two episodes ago, not 2 weeks ago.
I'll say two episodes ago.
Bart the Lover.
Yes.
Bart the Lover, yes. Bart the Lover, it has reclaimed it with Homer at the Bat and continued with Separate Vocations. Nancy Cartwright received an Emmy for her performance in this episode.
I can definitely see that because the Bart performance and Bart and Lisa both, her and Nancy Cartwright and Yuri Smith both did a great job in this episode. You actually feel like they're little kids and their voice work backs it up amazingly.
Yeah, they do a great job. It seems like every episode there's a certain episode in here where someone has won an Emmy for it. So this is the Emmys are starting to take notice, at least in the for voiceover performances. The chalkboard gag, I will not barf unless I'm sick.
But barfing is hilarious. Didn't you know that, Robbie?
No. That's like one of the things I really try to maintain in life is not throwing up. I don't, no thank you, ever. It's the worst. Couch gag, Bart leaps in everyone's lap. I believe this is a repeat. So, meh. I
believe it is as well. Meh. Yeah. Boring. Meh. Old school.
Old. It's old already. We already seen it. Come on, give us something new. This is I believe I've mentioned this before, but this is one of my treasured episodes on my VHS tape, my old VHS tape I had. It was this one, Homer Defined, and what was the other one? Why can't I remember? Lisa the Greek. These were the three I remember distinctly watching over and over again. So I might be a little bit biased towards this one.
Uh-oh, we're gonna fight in best episode ever.
You're gonna have to temper it down, I guess. The episode begins with the kids taking the CANT, the Career Aptitude Normalizing Test. I've pulled a whole bunch of this because it's amazing.
First question. If I could be any animal, I would be a carpenter ant, B, a nurse shark, or C, a lawyer bird.
Question 60. I prefer the smell of A, gasoline, B, French fries, or C, bank customers.
Well, that was a waste of time.
Jamie, school is never a waste of time.
Since we have 15 minutes until recess, please put down your pencils and stare at the front of the room.
This is more important now than it was even at that time. Because standardized testing has only gotten more insidious and more ingrained in our, especially in the American education system. And it's pretty awful, actually. It's hilarious that this has even gotten more kind of prescient as time has passed us by.
I was gonna say, it's really sad now that I know, especially in my sophomore year of high school, which was a long, long time ago, back in the 90s, that's all we did in math and English is prepare for one single test. And once that was over, we did almost nothing. It was terrible and great at the same time.
So, Matt, what animal are you? Are you a carpenter ant, a nurse shark, or a lawyer bird?
Probably the carpenter ant. To build things.
Yeah, you are a carpenter ant. I don't think I'm any of those things.
You want to be a lawyer bird?
I guess that's probably the closest. I'm between a lawyer bird and a carpenter ant, I think.
Mm, it's close.
Yeah, they don't have the animal of what I am, I guess.
Which would be...
man bat.
I was going to say the podcasting snail.
Okay, well, there you go. I'm a podcasting snail. The results get sent off to Iowa, because that's where they all go. That's where tests go.
In real life, too.
In real life as well. We see Emma, the computer, trying to handle all the results. Bart momentarily crashes it. There's an old man that gets up and going. We come back to the school when the tests come in, and a multitude of kids learn what their destinies are.
Architect.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance salesman.
Mm-hmm.
Salmon gutter.
Military strongman.
Systems analyst.
All right!
Homemaker.
Mm-hmm. He's like a mommy.
Police officer. We'll all be jiggered.
If you'd like to learn more, I could arrange for you to ride along in a police car for a night.
Hey, I don't need you to get me in the back of a police car.
Well, I really think you should consider this. You know, before I saw these test results, I had you pegged as a drifter.
Wow, a drifter? Lousy sheriff. Run me out of town. He's lost my vote. Cool.
So, what's the systems analyst? Is that's still a job, right, Matt?
Absolutely is.
Yeah.
I'm sure most of these are actually still jobs. I mean, everyone always needs salmon gutters and military strongmen.
Okay. I guess you're right. And this kind of, these test results kind of shape the rest of this episode, and they kind of steer both the Simpsons children into kind of reversing their normal roles. They go back to the house, and they're having dinner, and Bart, we already see Bart is kind of emboldened by him, you know, maybe being a police officer or going on a ride-along and stuff. But Lisa is really kind of sad and downbeat because she doesn't really want to be a homemaker like Marge. She wanted to be a jazz musician. She even has, like, she has it all planned out. Was it Homer's line is what Marge asked Homer what if he was going to be in the police, and he corrects her and saying, no, the army, she's too heavy for the army and he's too dumb for the police, which I don't know about that, Homer. I think you're as probably smart as Wiggum, and he's in the police. I think he could.
That's true. Wiggum, also, I'm pretty sure there's no weight you can be that the army won't take you.
At this point, no. But then back in the early 90s, I think they still had a few standards.
That's true. Now they're just in fat ass boot camp.
They're just like, all right, you lose 30 pounds, now you're in the army. They take Lisa to the music store where she jams out in front of the a guy, just some dude, and he likes her music, but he says her fingers are too stubby. She can't play because her fingers are too stubby. Don't listen to dudes at the music store, Lisa. That's my one piece of advice.
For real, you don't have to have great manual dexterity to be a great jazz musician. I mean, that's one style of jazz, but you could be a slow jazz virtuoso. I mean, look at Kenny G.
He has notoriously stubby fingers.
Exactly.
Go to Google Image Search and look up Kenny G fingers. Or maybe don't do that. I'm not sure what you'll find. She is kind of heartbroken about this, and we hear about it when she's writing in her diary.
Dear Log, this will be my last entry, for you were a journal of my hopes and dreams, and now I have none.
And the same as Lisa's kind of going down, Bart is kind of going up. He goes on a ride along with Eddie and Lou. They see kind of a little bit of Springfield at night, which that the kind of weird nighttime culture that haven't really seen a bunch of. And they end up going, and Bart is like thinking it's going to be like run, shoot 'em up. Eddie and Lou try and dispel that myth right before they get into a car chase with Snake, who has recently robbed the Quickie Mart.
Indeed.
Yeah. And this is a homage to Bullet, with Steve McQueen, which has an amazing car chase sequence in it in Streets of San Francisco, which is also another actual title of a television show that's also an homage to. What is the license plate? It's Eggplant, Xerxes, Crybaby, Overbite, Norwal.
Indeed.
Yes. And they end up cornering him in this lot down an alleyway. And for some reason, they arm Bart with a pistol. And he tries to defend the exit, watch the exit for him. Snake, and as Eddie and Lou kind of creep off out looking for him, Snake flips on his headlights, guns the engine, is heading straight towards Bart. Bart wildly fires off a few shots until all his bullets are gone.
Manages to hit nothing.
Yes. Well, he is a 10-year-old and he has it's a gigantic pistol. I think, I don't know.
If oh, come on. That's a 38 special if I ever saw one.
He couldn't handle that recoil. Not as a 10-year-old. He's never fired a gun before.
True. You think he'd hit something on the car? I mean, it's a car. It's kind of a big target.
It is a big car aiming right at him, Matt. Come on, there's stress involved.
Yeah, whatever. Bart can't hit the side of a barn.
Oh. Is this what this episode is now about, Matt? We got to criticize Bart's marksmanship?
Yes, it is. Okay. I can't criticize that, then I'm out.
So Snake is barreling down, and it looks like Bart is going to get run over. And then the screen freezes at Bart cowering, and it says, "To be continued." Which I think is the only time it ever happens in the history of the show.
Yeah, I feel like it has to be an homage, like a 70s cop show or something.
Yeah, they never do it again. That's exactly what they're going for. And it really does feel like that. Even though when I knew that when I watched this as a kid, I did not understand that it was that. And I was just like, what's happening? It's very dramatic.
Is it over already?
Yeah. But with that, it cuts to a commercial. Does Bart make it out alive?
And as soon as we come back from commercial, we find out, yes, Bart did make it out alive. Luckily, the alley got really narrow in the middle for some reason, and Snake's car gets stuck. He flies through the windshield and is badly injured. Bart, of course, seeing this, talks to Eddie and Lou, and it's like, you know what? I want to be a cop, because that's the life for him. You know, firing wildly into the air and then getting saved by a random happenstance. That's what a cop's life is like. We then cut to Lisa, who is horrifically disenchanted, but Marge is trying to cheer her up. She's like, look, as a homemaker, you can really be creative. And she has made a breakfast smiley face, aww, with eggs, bacon, and I believe toast as the ears for Bart and Homer. And Lisa, being the realist, says they'll never notice. And of course, Bart and Homer come running in and completely devour the breakfast without saying anything. I think they might say thank you. Marge is, of course, sad. We then see later in the day where Marge comes to see her cake that she has just made has been completely eaten. And the dog is there sniffing after it, because that's what dogs do. And Marge initially blames the dog, but luckily, thanks to Bart's surveillance, Bart apparently has a thing for cameras, as we will eventually see in Bart After Dark. Which is the one with the pool? Is that Bart After Dark?
It was Bart After Dark. Okay. Or no, Bart of Darkness, I believe.
Bart of Darkness, that's right. As we will see in Bart of Darkness, and as we have already seen in Homer's Night Out, Bart has a thing for cameras and taking pictures of people who aren't aware they're being taken. He should hang out with Willie more often. But he proves that it was actually Homer that ate the cake. Surprise, surprise. And of course, we then see Lisa again at home. And Marge is wondering, why isn't she at band practice? And of course, Lisa has quit, because apparently one test that says you're going to be a homemaker is reason enough to completely abandon all your dreams, which is, unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. If that test said you're going to be a homemaker, you have no choice.
Well, it does. I think that this episode really does capture that feeling as like when you're a little kid and people like it really does influence what your decision making is in certain, especially in Lisa's case when she's been so successful so far in school. And even when she comments like, yes, everything in school is worthwhile. Like this is obviously turning everything on in her head. I'm like, I can empathize with that. Like when you're told, no, you can't do this after you think you can do anything. And then everything is suddenly pointing the opposite way. It feels that way when you're a little kid, like nothing, it seems like the future is already told to you.
It's weird how susceptible kids are to, you know, having their options limited. I feel like that's why everyone wants to tell kids they can be anything, because it's true. A kid will be anything until you tell them they can't, and they believe you because they believe adults for some reason. It's weird. Why would you trust adults?
Why would you?
But luckily for Lisa, Marge is there, and she gives an example to Lisa of when she was a kid.
You know what I want to be when I grow up?
A girl on the oatmeal box?
No, I'm going to be an astronaut.
Women can't be astronauts.
Why not?
They distract the men astronauts so they wouldn't keep their minds on the road.
There will, too, be women astronauts. It's true. And we'll all live in cities on the moon.
That's right, kids. We are all living in cities on the moon. That's where this podcast is coming to you from.
I love little tiny astronaut Marge.
Isn't it great, the oatmeal and
everything? So amazing.
I love it. Poor little Marge. And Marge is correct. Women can be astronauts. It kills me that there was ever a time when people thought, like Patty and Selma, like, oh, women can't do that. That's just ludicrous.
Matt?
I'm sure they still think that way, but I want to punch those people in the face.
There's still plenty of people out there who think that.
That's true. If you think that way, I would like to schedule you a date with my baseball bat.
Oh, do you really own a baseball bat, Matt?
I do, actually.
Really? Okay.
A baseball bat? Yes. I don't use it to actually, you know, play baseball, of course. That'd be crazy.
Crazy.
Oh, but anyway, this does not persuade Lisa, of course, because it's Marge. It's just like Marge's thing at the end of her story. She's like, well, I was wrong about the city of the moon, so I guess you could see how anybody could be wrong. Which, to be fair, is a good moral, but it's completely lost on poor Lisa, because she is swallowed up in the doldrums of her imaginarily ruined future. This continues the next day at school, where Skinner is cleaning his puma. Yes, kid, that's a puma. Not a puma, a puma. Which is apparently the school mascot, this is eventually called back to in Pokemon, and I think it's like season, like 10 or 11, apparently it's officially canon. Their school mascot is the Puma.
12th season.
12th season, okay, I was close. And then she walks past Skinner, rolls her eyes at him, and then she goes into the bad girl's bathroom. Dun dun dun! Her friend Janie, tries to restrict her, but, you know, Lisa's had it. She's going to the bad girl's bathroom where they're apparently smoking in elementary school. And I don't know what things were like back in the early 90s as far as smoking regulations go, but I'm pretty sure you weren't supposed to do that. So she's correct. It is the bad girl's bathroom. As to where, you know, 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds get their hands on cigarettes, I couldn't tell you, but maybe it has something to do with cigarette vending machines.
Like at Moe's.
Exactly, like at Moe's. Of course, they immediately try to shoo Lisa away because obviously she's not bad girl enough for them. But Lisa, being the incredibly smart child that she still is, despite, you know, what she wants to do with her life, tells them, oh, I know the way to really honk Skinner off, which is a great phrase I need to use more often. We then see what Lisa has told these kids, and apparently they have egged and toilet papered poor Skinner's puma.
I saw some awful things in Nam, but you really have to wonder at the mentality that would desecrate a helpless puma. I never thought I'd say this, but the no-goodniks rule this school.
Yes, indeed, the no-goodniks rule the school, because they desecrated your poor puma. I'm surprised Bart hasn't done that on, like, a weekly basis.
The poor puma.
But, of course, Skinner begs for a half day when he hears a commotion outside and goes out to find Groundskeeper Willie being arrested by the police and Bart Simpson telling them to take him away. And that is just crazy.
Now, what is this all about?
Well, it's quite simple, really. I observed our friend, Groundskeeper Willie, burning leaves with a blatant disregard for our clean air laws.
Bart Simpson on the side of law and order? That's the world gone topsy-turvy.
That's right, man. I got my first taste of authority, and I liked it.
I love Skinner's at the end, because apparently he has use for a little Gestapo like Bart.
I really like the fact that it's they are not subtle about the allusions to fascism.
Oh, not at all. Skinner basically wants a police state, as he states later, because apparently school administrators all over the country want the exact same thing, because schools are terrible places now. I mean, they were bad when we were kids, Robbie, but man, they're like prisons now. It's kind of depressing. Anyway, of course, Skinner asks Bart to come to his office, where he makes him the offer to become a hall monitor. And there's a great dream sequence with Bart's voice being replaced by Steve Allen to protect his identity. And Bart likes the idea, but he's a little trepidatious. But Skinner, luckily, has a response to that.
I don't know.
Oh, now you get to wear a sash.
You got yourself a narc.
That's all it takes to get Bart Simpson on board is a sash.
Just need a sash.
That's all it takes.
It's powerful.
Yep. And then we see Bart immediately getting to work with his little bit of order. He basically roams the halls yelling at people and stopping kids with skateboards with his foot, which is, to be clear, is a pretty cool move. But hey, you know. He also stops Milhouse from getting an excessive pink belly. Because, you know, that's what you do. You keep your friends out. I love what he tells the boys. That belly is pink enough.
And pink belly, pink belly, pink belly.
And for some reason, the boys listen to him. They've never listened to him before, but apparently the authority of the sash, and the sunglasses probably, convinced the bullies that Bart is to be listened to at this point. Then we cut to Marge and Homer in bed, as they often are talking. And basically, Marge is concerned that, you know, Bart's grades are up a little bit, Lisa's are way down, because obviously Lisa has stopped trying. Because again, a test determines your entire life. Of course, Homer makes the great observation that they always have one good kid and one bad kid. Marge luckily chimes in and says, hey, we have three kids.
And Homer's response is...
no, Maggie. I love the Homer thinks about Maggie as much as the rest of us do.
Hey, I think about Maggie all the time, Matt.
That's true. I'm sure you're always thinking about Maggie. Always thinking about the baby.
Of course. Poor little Maggie.
Mm. But Homer and Marge are obviously concerned, and they're trying to think of something to do. And they have good reason to, because the next day in class, something horrific happens to Lisa.
Now, sprinkle your sparkles on your paste. Lisa, you're not sprinkling your sparkles.
Shove it.
I have never seen a good student take such a slide. Lisa, what are you rebelling against?
What do you got?
This is obvious an homage to The Wild One with Marlon Brando, when he is asked the same question. I think I like Lisa's delivery a little better, to be honest. I mean, she works that toothpick pretty well.
The juxtaposition of Marlon Brando and Lisa Simpson is pretty great, honestly.
That's true. They're both incredibly intelligent young people whose lives are being thrown away for no particular reason.
Have you actually seen The Wild One, Matt?
I have not seen all of it. I've seen bits and pieces here and there.
Yeah. There's. Do you have you ever actually seen the Steve Allen show?
I have not, no.
Yeah, neither have I.
Oh, okay.
I Steve Allen is, like, that's such an old reference. I don't know if the people watching it at the time, like, were really, like, understood, like, Steve Allen was.
Unless they were, like, if they were 40 years old at the time, maybe, because that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was, like, the beginning of TV a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the fact that for some reason in, Lisa's in what, second grade, they are sprinkling sprinkles on paste.
Glitter.
Sparkles. Glitter. Why? Yeah. What are you doing that in second grade for? You should be learning math and science and English.
Matt Springfield.
I know. It's like every inner city school everywhere. I just think it's funny that back then, shove it was so terrible. And maybe still for a second grader, it still is, but I'm pretty sure most teachers these days would be like, oh, you didn't stab me. You know what? I'm giving you a gold star.
Well, it depends. It depends on your district. Depends where you're teaching.
That's true. I'm pretty sure my sister-in-law in Mississippi would be happy to not be stabbed. But she teaches third graders, so they're a little more advanced than Lisa's class. But anyway, after Lisa's wild one line, we cut to a commercial.
Yes, when we return, the school is now a police state, as Matt has alluded to earlier. Skinner could not be happier with Bart and his performance as the hall monitor. He's done a spectacular job. He is actually so pleased with him that he has given him permission to take one item from the seized property room in the school.
Come with me.
Madre de Dios! Legends were true!
Yes, Bart. Whenever a teacher confiscates something, it ends up here. Salacious halter tops, complete collections of Mad, Cracked, and the occasional issue of Crazy. And this fake plastic derriere. Now, to show my gratitude, I want you to help yourself to an item of your choice.
Right.
Ooh, now you be careful with that crossbow.
I will.
Why does an elementary school have a crossbow? Where did they confiscate that from?
Some fifth grader brought it in, Matt.
I'm sure.
You're sure? We go directly from this into a montage of Bart solving a whole bunch of crimes. It's a very kind of mystery noir kind of references where we see the calendar flying by and Bart solving a crime seems every day. You know, there's a Martin. It's Martin, right? He fakes his handwriting. Is that
Nelson?
Is? Nelson faking his handwriting. Skinner's exclaiming, so he didn't have leprosy.
And wouldn't notice him having leprosy.
No, of course not. And we're kind of cutting back and forth between Bart and Lisa and their experiences in their kind of new personas. I have actually pulled a good example of this.
Hey, Lewis, watch this. Ow! Bart, do something!
Let's go, Milhouse.
Sure, we have order, but at what price?
Now, let's correct our homework exercises. Lisa, what 19th century figure was nicknamed Old Hickory?
I don't know. You?
Lisa, if you'd bothered to do the assignment, you'd know the answer is... the Battle of New Orleans. I mean, Andrew Jackson.
Well, you're earning your 18 grand a year.
And unfortunately, that's not much less than current teachers make, at least in the U.S.
I would just like to say that is a sick burn that she gets in on Hoover.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, you kind of, to not even have the answer ready is not too great in this Hoover. Lisa is made to stay after class. She's got detention, I believe. And she sees this opportunity to steal all the teacher's editions of the textbooks. Once she steals them all, the teachers kind of discover this and have a meeting, so to speak.
Ladies and gentlemen, the unthinkable has happened. Some sick, twisted individual has stolen every teacher's edition in this school.
What do we do?
Declare a snow day!
Does anyone know the multiplication table?
Please, don't panic. They can smell fear.
It's at Seriously. This point.
Go ahead. It's grade school stuff. Come on, guys. I mean...
I think that makes it even the most pointed. The teachers kind of panic and scramble. Krabappel gets Martin to teach, which Martin is not prepared for. The unnamed hippie guy is going to tell the kids about the 60s.
And poor Mr. Glasscock leaves again.
Yes, poor Mr. Glasscock. He just can't take people making fun of his name anymore. And Skinner is panicking, and Bart comes up. And comes to him and says, I can fix this. I will find those books. I know they're still here. They're still on campus. And this starts a amazing sequence as Bart and Skinner are like opening up lockers left and right. There's Axel's theme playing again, which we last saw on Radio Bart. I didn't realize it come back this quickly.
It's at least once a season.
We're at two right now. We'll see if we can get to three before the end of the season. And as they're doing this, Lisa's locker is square in the middle as they're coming down the line, and it's really ratcheting up the tension. And then Bart finally gets to Lisa's locker and discovers it's her who did it.
Lisa!
That's right. It was I.
Please, why did you do it?
Come on, Bart. In your pre-fascist days, you knew the giddy thrill of feudal rebellion.
Yeah, but even I had my limits. You're looking at expulsion for this.
I know.
The books! Oh, answers. Oh, Simpson, you just saved this school $120. Who's behind this monstrous crime?
I am.
I've been so blind. In retrospect, the signs all pointed to a rogue hall monitor.
Sorry that I betrayed your trust, Principal Sucker.
Now, Bart, in light of your recent service to the school, I've decided to be lenient. 400 days detention.
Yeah, 400 days. I can do that standing on my head.
All right, 500 days.
Woo-hoo-hoo, big man.
600 days.
Maybe I'll just shut my big mouth.
Let's go, Simpson.
Bart, why'd you take the blame?
Because I didn't want you to wreck your life. You got the brains and the talent to go as far as you want. And when you do, I'll be right there to borrow money.
Oh, Bart.
Sounding good, Lace.
And that ends the episode. Really sweet
so a
moment.
A couple of things here. One, none of the signs pointed to a rogue hall monitor, especially when it was his idea to go through the lockers. That makes no sense at all. Skinner, you're a moron. And secondly, 400 days detention. You're going to put him in detention every single school day until he leaves the school?
The fact that Skinner doesn't see that that's obviously not Bart who did it, it's just further pointing to, like, this whole episode is completely satirizing the education system and how how the teachers work and how they punish students and all that. I didn't cut it up because I really love all of it. I love the fact Lisa's kind of realization that, you know, that this is too much, that she went too far, and Bart realizing, like, he has to take the bullet for this. If Lisa does it, it'll ruin everything that she's worked already and what she can do. And he realizes that. And even you see that even in his goading of Skinner. Like, he realizes, I think, and that's in addition to it, Matt, when he's goading Skinner at the end there. Like, I think that's to further obscure maybe Skinner realizing that it probably isn't him.
Oh, yeah. And it definitely works because Skinner is so blinded with rage.
Yeah, it's really sweet moment in the episode with Bart writing on the chalkboard, I will not expose the ignorance of the faculty, with Lisa kind of serenading him on her saxophone.
That is a great chalkboard gag.
It is. They knew it was good, so they used it inside the episode instead of just as the front. This has a very special place in my heart, this one does, Matt.
I definitely feel the same way.
Yeah, I've watched a lot when I was a kid, and I'm a big softy. You know, the Bart and Lisa, you get a whole bunch of great movie references. It's a really fun takedown on education and standardized testing in particular, about children and how they get led astray by just very simple things adults tell them. Great one. Very good episode, Matt. I'm interested to see where it goes.
Uh-oh.
Let's see. Before we continue, please keep sending in my favorite episode submissions. Keep getting them in. I really like seeing them. Simply send an email saying what your favorite episode is, and send it to simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. Really appreciate it. I keep every single one, and I file it away until we get to that episode. Next up, comments from the news group. Got some good stuff in here. Someone from Iowa did not like the fact that they were saying that Iowa got tests set there.
Even though it's true?
I think it was just the kind of... I think they took it as that Iowa is boring. I think that's the insult. But then someone from Iowa also responded saying, no, it's totally true. Iowa's terrible. They're totally right. Then I also found this really interesting thing. Someone started a poll in what they think Maggie's first word will be. So I'll read off the answers here, Matt. And they got a whole bunch of them. We have Itchy, Scratchy, Homer, Lisa, Where Is That Boy, Santa's Little Helper, Television, Suck, Mommy, Bowling Ball, Bend Over, Bart, Oh Homer, No One Saw Me Do It, Can't Prove Anything, Feed Me, All of the Above, None of the Above, Some of the Above, and then finally Other, Specify. Well, Other, Specify would be the correct answer there, but they did manage to get Lisa's first word in there.
That's true, and that episode hasn't happened yet, so hey.
No, yeah, but But they swinging a miss on Maggie's first word.
I'm just trying to figure out how Ben Dover got in there.
I don't know. There's a lot of things in there that don't really necessarily make sense. I think that actually the dark horse on that one would be television.
That's true.
So, not much else. Again, this is all these episodes are having such quick succession. Not a bunch of time in between for them to have a lot of discussion. But with that, Matt, I think we can move straight along into the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
I think that's our new little intro for this segment, Matt.
I love it.
I can't believe I didn't think about that earlier. Brady on Twitter suggested that to me. I say that all the time. How could I not think of it to use it for a trivia segment? Jeez. All right. No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each bring three questions and challenge each other, try and stump the other, one easy, one medium, one hard. We take theme suggestions. This week's theme is dreams, nightmares, and hallucinations, sent in by Jimmy at Twitter, Pale Earnhardt. Great handle, I do want to say. I'll start us off, Matt. You ready?
All right.
So, in Bart sells his soul, in Bart's dream, what vehicle is he in without a partner?
It is a rowboat.
You are correct.
It's a pretty easy one, you know. Going soft on me.
It's easy.
All right, your easy question, sir. In the episode Bart the Murderer, in Bart's dream, who is his cellmate?
A roided up Sideshow Bob.
That is correct. As if prison wasn't terrifying enough.
You ready for your medium question?
I am.
In Bart Gets Famous, Lisa dreams, or daydreams, that Bart is killed by what?
In Bart Gets Famous?
Come on, Matt. You can get it. I know you have it.
I honestly have no idea.
You sure?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even remember there being a dream sequence in that episode.
He is killed when she kicks him over onto her Nobel Peace Prize.
That's right. That's great. Oh, fair enough. You got me.
I stumped you with a medium. I like it.
I'm worried about the hard question now.
Okay.
All right, sir. Your medium question. In El Viaje Misterioso de Nuestro Homer, who is the voice of the coyote?
It's Johnny Cash.
Okay. I assumed you would get that one, but I just wanted to make sure, because that's amazing.
Matt, love is a burning thing. And it makes a fiery ring.
I'm pretty sure it only makes a fiery ring if you didn't wrap your tool.
That's awful, Matt. You shouldn't say such disgusting things.
That's true. All right, hit me with a hard one.
In Mountain of Madness, what political powers does Burns hallucinate behind Homer?
Oh, I remember list all of them, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's definitely Gandhi. Mm-hmm. I believe Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
I
will tell you there is three more.
Three more, okay. Political powers. I want to say George Washington?
May or may not be there.
Nope, crap. All right, one of the Roosevelts.
You gotta narrow it down a little bit more than that, Matt.
I'm going to say Franklin Roosevelt? Oh, it must have been Teddy then. All right, damn, I can picture them in my head, but I'm gonna have to bow out there.
It's Teddy Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln, Gandhi, Ramses, and Mao Zedong.
Oh yes, it wouldn't be The Simpsons if they didn't include Mao Zedong.
Of course.
All right, wow, you have stumped me left and right today, here, man. I'm gonna have to watch all of these seasons again.
Mm-hmm.
All right, your hard question.
I'm feeling confident.
All right. In Last Exit to Springfield, while Lisa is getting her dental work done, she has a vision under her anesthetic. What musical group appears in that dream?
The Beatles?
You are correct, sir. Yellow Submarine and Lisa in the sky with diamonds. Wow. This is a weird one. You stumped me on both medium and hard, and you got all three. It's some kind of weird backwards day.
I don't even feel especially sharp tonight, so I don't know. I probably savanted my way into that.
You're just brilliant, Robbie. We all know it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, Matt, I got a couple. We got a few questions from some listeners. Listeners sent in a few. I'll start with the easiest one, I think. You know, I think you'll get this one. In Deep Space Homer, Homer crashes into the ant farm aboard the shuttle, releasing them and causing the ants to exclaim what?
Oh. Save the queen. Which one's the queen? I'm the queen. No, you're not. I am.
Well, that is true. What else do they say? The thing when they first are released.
Oh, man. They're first released?
Yes. When they are the first thing they say.
First thing they say. That's the only thing that's stuck in my memory is the queen thing. What do they say?
Freedom, horrible freedom.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's fantastic.
Let's see. And both these questions are from Dan. I don't think I said that. In Das Bus, the kids lament, "I'm so hungry, I could eat at blank."
Arby's.
And that's
which is unfair. Like Arby's is pretty good today.
I like Arby's. I mean, I want to eat the roast beef. I would eat the chicken, but it's still good.
Yeah, yeah. And I think back and when that episode was aired, Arby's didn't have all their good food, like their fancier food, like they have now.
And they have like the curly fries with the orange stuff on it. I like the orange stuff.
Yeah.
And they got all the sauces. Sticks. They got a whole bunch of good sauces too.
Mm-hmm. Note of the day, kids: go eat at Arby's. It's actually pretty good now.
Best part about moving back to Orlando, Arby's down the street.
Yep.
Well, not really. There's many other better reasons, but it is a very good
I was about
reason.
To say, better restaurants alone that are closer to you.
Yes, I know. And I got a couple questions. These are from Chris. Who does the voice of inmate Jack Crowley in the aforementioned Pokemon?
Oh, I have no idea. I can hear the voice, but...
Batman and Birdman, Michael Keaton.
Oh, really? I didn't even know. Holy crap.
And Beetlejuice.
That is amazing.
I have to mention Beetlejuice. One more. Who does the voice of Krusty's daughter in Insane Clown Poppy?
Oh, crap. This one I should know. Oh, God. I want to say Sarah Michelle Gellar, but I know it's not. It is Drew Barrymore?
You are correct. Drew Barrymore.
Yes! That was tough.
It's the small victories, man.
I had to get something tough today.
So, I think that'll be it for now. I think I still have a few more in the vault for you guys. From you guys. But please keep sending them in if you have theme suggestions or trivia questions for me and Matt. Send them in. You can, let's see. Yes, you can follow us on Twitter at Simpsons Show Pod. And then you can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Send any questions you have or themes or any of those, you know, that all works out. You guys know how internet works, right? Emails. I mentioned this already, but emails at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com as well. So, Matt, you know what time it is, right? So the thing we do every week, last thing we do every episode.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready for it.
It's time. Oh, good. It's time for best episode ever. Best episode ever is a part of the show, Matt. I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Now, Matt, where does this one go?
This one's a good one, I gotta say. Honestly, I'm looking at it, and I know we had quite the discussion last time on where Bart the Lover goes and Homer at the Bat, and it's pretty tough, but I think it's going to be pretty far up there. I mean, I'm looking right around 5, maybe 6, Stark Raving Dad and Lisa the Greek. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Let me see. It's a Bart-Lisa episode. Where is the top Bart-Lisa episode? We don't really have many of them yet, right? We have...
Like Father Like Clown is kind of towards the end, but
yeah,
not really.
Most of Bart-Lisa episodes are pretty far down.
I think at this point they were still kind of feeling out that brother sister dynamic, the love.
No, Stark Raving Dad is a Bart Lisa episode.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
And that's number 5 right now. That one is definitely better than this one.
I would say so.
We can work out. I'm trying to put my feelings for this aside. This is a very good episode. I want to say Homer the Bat's better and funnier and wackier. It's certainly not. This has a lot more emotion. That is very true. And that the kind of the moment at the end and Lisa's struggles and kind of that. But Homer the Bat, I think, is a better achievement in a lot of ways than this is.
I suppose I could go with that. But I just feel like this episode is really good. There's no B story. It's just one story throughout, so it's very tight. You've got a lot of great allusions to movies and, you know, books and everything. So they seamlessly, you know, put that in there. You've got Skinner being his, you know, a little bit of character development. You see kind of his fascistic tendencies, which I think it's actually a pretty core part of Skinner. He's a wuss, but he's well, give him a little bit of authority and things just go to heck. So, I mean, yeah. Well, you know, trying to be as possible.
Oh, you're so nice, Matt. Is it better than Bart the Murderer? I think this is actually very comparable in all those things you described in Bart
yes,
the Murderer.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. I was like, maybe 5 or 6 was a little high, but Bart the Murderer, I would say with the inclusion of it being that with the Bart-Lisa dynamic, it is just ever so slightly better than Bart the Murderer.
I agree with you. I think the fact that there's like that kind of emotional core with Bart and Lisa kind of bonding there at the end with Bart taking the bullet for her, I think it does edge it out over Bart the Murderer because they're both kind of very predicated on like a lot of references and allusions to, you know, movies and TV and stuff.
Especially with kids in the place of those adult roles. Not to mention that I'm a sucker for anything that's a send-up of how terrible the school systems are.
Yeah, it's that. I mean, and I've already said that this one is one of the ones I watched a lot as a kid. So, yeah, there we go. Number 8. I'll put us at number 8. Separate vocations. Right behind Homer the Bat, right in front of Bart the Murderer. Lisa's substitute, still number 1. With Homer's Odyssey, number 53, last place, still.
Really don't see that changing.
It will change, man. There's 500 plus episodes of this show. I guarantee you we'll find one that is better.
I'm sure we will. I remember something about being in love with a manatee in some of the later seasons, so you're probably right.
Manatee episode, yeah. Next episode, Matt, what do we got?
Next episode is Dog of Death, where poor Santa's little helper develops a twisted stomach.
Oh, no. Poor Santa's little helper. Yeah, you can find this list of the Master Best Episode Ever list on our website. It's simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find that there. You can find all the new episodes, all downloadable streaming. You can find links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, if you just want to put that in your little app thing, you know, if you don't like the Apple Empire. You can contact us there, comment on episodes, and, of course, donate to the show, which we would, of course, appreciate. Yes, Dog of Death is next week, or next episode, I should say. And before we go, you can find me on Twitter, at Mixmaster Shield. It's MIXMASTERCREAL. Please check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, and on iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
If you're flying into the Orlando International Airport, feel free to drop a message in the toilet because we get blue ice on occasion.
Is that true?
No, that's not true. But we our house is directly underneath the landing pattern, so they come pretty close.
Guys, watch out for blue ice. It's very dangerous. With that, call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.